Lord, help us to commence this evening with hymn 675. Come boldly to a throne of grace, ye wretched sinners come, and lay your load at Jesus' feet, and plead what he has done. 675.
Thank you. us read together from the Word of God, from the Epistle of Paul to the Philippians, chapter 1. Epistle of Paul to the Philippians, chapter 1. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making request with joy. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defence and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. Therefore God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offence till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. But I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even of envy and strife, and some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defence of the gospel. What then? Notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labour, yet What I shall choose, I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Christ, in Jesus Christ, for me by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. For in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which he saw in me, and now here to be in me. May the Lord be pleased to bless to us the reading of his word and help us to pray. Kind and ever merciful and gracious Lord God, once again thy mercy and kindness enables little company of poor sinners to draw near to thy and assemble together in thy house this evening hour. We do thank thee, dear Lord, for another occasion. And dear Lord, we do pray that it may be and prove to be a blessed occasion. It be a blessed occasion, dear Lord, if thou shouldst condescend to come and meet with us and favour us with a feeling sense of thy blessed presence, to know and feel that the Lord is here. And Lord, we ask then that thou would remember us this evening hour for good. Our Lord, for our soul's good and for thine honour, glory and praise. Dear Lord Jesus, do come. Do open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing upon us. Lord, not because we're worthy, because we're not. Lord, we're like that poor man in the gospel, full of leprosy. And it seemeth to me there's a plague in the house. But Lord, we come to thee, pleading that thy name, thy blood, thy righteousness, thy finished work, dear Lord Jesus, thou did finish and accomplish at Calvary, indeed, for poor dying sinners. Lord, and we are poor dying sinners. Oh, and we come to thee. Thou hast said, look unto me and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. There is none other name whereby we must be saved, whereby we can be saved, is that name of Jesus. Oh, how sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ears, soothes his sorrows, heals his wounds, and drives away his fears. Oh, then, dear Lord, do come and make thyself more and more precious to our poor, never-dying souls. One said, I without him perish must. Lord Jesus, thou art that one thing needful. Lord, and we pray that thou would draw near and nigh unto us this evening hour. Lord, who help us, we pray thee. We need thy help. We need the aid of thy spirit. And we need thee, Lord, to come and touch our lips with that live coal from off that heavenly altar. We need thee here, Lord, as the master of the assembly, to be found in divine control. Control over one's lips to speak right things according to thy heavenly mind and will. And control over each of our hearts and ears, that we may hear as for eternity. We may hear for our soul's good and profit. Dear Lord Jesus, do come and meet with us, we do pray thee. Oh, that there may be that blessed prompting of thy Holy Spirit. Lord, that thou would put the words in our mouth. And Lord, and thou would put the words in sinners' hearts. Gracious Lord, we look to thee. Oh, the psalmist said, I will look up unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord. And may we prove it to be so this evening hour, we beg. Lord Jesus, do help us. We bow our heads before thee in confession of our sin and guilt. Lord, and we do plead with thee, that thou would indeed pardon and forgive all and wash all away and cleanse in that precious fountain of thine own heart's blood. Then, Lord Jesus, do hear us. Oh, we come, Lord. Oh, see a poor sinner, dearest Lord, whose soul encouraged by thy word. Mercy's footstool would remain and there would look and look again. Dear Lord, then do hear our prayer. Do wash us, do cleanse us. Lord, do keep and preserve us then from all sin and iniquity. Lord, we would only need, Lord, to be cleansed from our sin. We need to be kept, Lord, from sin. And Lord, and we, some of us at least, Lord, know that we cannot do these things in and of ourselves. Only as we are found looking unto Jesus, then, Lord, do help us to be constantly looking up, looking heavenward. Pray then that thou help us now. Lord, remember again, Lord, this little cause of truth, and do bless them together. Oh, bind them together in love and unity in the bond of peace. Do make thy goodness pass before them in the way. Be very near to them. Feed their souls with the bread of heaven, with the water of divine life. Bless thy dear servants as they come here to minister in thy name. And oh, we pray that there may be those souls for hire and sealed to the ministry. We pray that thou remember our friends that bear office, undertake for them and help them. Pray for each member of the church and congregation also. Remember them each. Dear Lord, do abundantly bless them. We pray for the dear children. Oh, the little ones, some with us tonight. Others, Lord, at home, probably tucked up in bed. We ask, Lord, that thou remember them each and do bless them. And do make thy goodness pass before them and keep and preserve them, dear Lord, in this wicked world of sin and iniquity. And pray thou surround them with thy love. Lord, do graciously help. Lord, we pray for any that are laid aside today because of sickness and affliction. Lord, we haven't spoken, but we notice that one little family, Lord, is not with us today. Lord, one parent this morning, one tonight. We pray thou remember those little ones, we beg, to be near them, graciously help them, Lord, and put thy healing hand. Any others, Lord, that perhaps we've not noticed, but Lord, we pray that thou wilt notice, and thou wilt remember them for good, and bless them. We pray for our dear friend present with us, who hopes, if thy will, to be married here on Thursday, be with her and her dear one. And dear Lord, we lovingly commend them today and go before them in life's pathway and the untrodden steps. Be their guide and counsellor. Help them, bless them together. And pray, dear Lord, that thou be with them. Be with them, Lord, not only on their wedding day, but every day of their married life. Go before them, Lord. Oh, then do graciously help each and all. And there's others, Lord, who we lovingly commend today and help them each. Be with them and bless them together. Oh, and pray, Lord, that thou wilt help us to pray for one another. And the Lord, that those in age and infirmity, one dear soul, unable to come to chapel nowadays, but Lord, do bless her and visit her and favour her, be near and be gracious. Help us then now. We pray for others, Lord, in sickness and affliction's path, but thy hand heal, restore, strengthen. Any, Lord, that have to undergo some treatment or maybe surgery, Lord, be with them and may thy goodness pass before them. Or may they have these things sanctified to them, that these things may not leave them as they find them. Lord, do then graciously help. We pray for a dear servant, Mr. Harold Jempson, help him and support him and undertake for him, Lord. I'll be with him, Lord, in the valley of the shadow of death. Oh, may he fear no evil. May he prove that thou art with him. Then do be near, do be gracious. And there's others, Lord, here and there that are laid aside. And some, Lord, thy servants that can no longer preach because of age and infirmity, help. And there's thy people, Lord, that are found in various homes. We pray for them and, Lord, do abundantly bless. And there may be some, Lord, detained in their own home. Perhaps they're detained tonight. Lord, do remember them and do bless them, we pray. And be very near and very gracious. Oh, that they may have sweet meditation of Jesus. Then, Lord, do help. Pray for all in deep trials, troubles and difficulties. Lord, those that have crooked things in their lot, do make the crooked straight, the rough place plain. Break down the mountains, make a way where there's no way. And be near and be gracious, we pray. Blessedly help. Oh, bring them through. And pray that remember again those, Lord, that have left and forsaken the house of God. Lord, to bring them back. Snatch them as brands from the burning. Make them trophies of grace. And hear prayer for our fellow countrymen. Lord, so few assemble together in the house of God. Oh, dear Lord, do turn us as a nation. We were once called the land of the book. Oh, Lord, we're no longer the land of the book. Lord, we plead with thee to grant a return in the power of thy Holy Spirit. Yet, Lord, we are very conscious of what thou hast told us by thy dear servant Jeremiah. They said, return unto me, and I will return unto you. Oh, help us to examine ourselves, and help us, Lord, and oh, that we may each personally return, and that Zion might return, and that our nation might return unto God and to godliness. Then do hear us. Pray for those that rule over us. Help them. and be near them. Remember our Prime Minister and undertake for her in her responsibilities. Remember our Queen in her old age. Be near, be gracious. Lord, and do help us to pray for the royal family, who are those heirs to the throne, Lord. Oh, to see the fear of God found in their heart. See some sign, some evidence that they reverence thy great and holy name. Lord, do grant it. And Leon, do appear for us. Oh, that the right example then might be set from those in authority over us. Hear us then in heaven thy dwelling place. Remember the nations of the earth. Remember those that are persecuted. Bring peace in this world. Protect and keep us in the house of God. We thank thee for all the kindness and mercy and goodness, the favours, blessings bestowed. And Lord, and we pray that we may be helped this evening hour. We need thy help. We're only poor man, and a poor sinful man at that. But Lord, we look to thee. We plead that thou wilt remember us now. Come, Lord Jesus, once more, fulfill thy blessed promise. Thou hast said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Then come and open one's mouth and touch my lips, that live coal from off that heavenly altar. We played the dear woman who cried, Lord, help me. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hymn number 82. Rejoice, ye saints, in every state. Divine decrees remain unmoved. No turns of providence abate God's care for those he once has loved. Number 82.
in dependence upon Thee, Lord. For needed help, I ask Your very prayerful attention this evening to Paul's epistle to the Philippians, chapter 1, and verse 6. The Philippians, chapter 1, verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Philippi was one of those churches that the dear apostle established, set up in his missionary journey, I believe his second missionary journey, set up this church. But it was indeed where he had seen fruit to his labour. You turn to Acts chapter 16 and you find there was a woman named Lydia, a seller of purple. What was she doing? She was attending a prayer meeting by the riverside. And also she attended unto the things spoken of by the Apostle Paul. What things was it the Apostle Paul then was setting forth there at that prayer meeting at that time, by there speaking of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. To know my Jesus crucified by far excels all things beside. All earthly good I count but loss and triumph in my Saviour's cross. Knowledge of all terrestrial things near to my soul true pleasure brings. No peace but in the Son of God, no joy but through His pardoning blood. Oh, so she attended. She listened intently. Oh, and she heard the words of the Lord through His servant Paul. That he came to seek and to save the lost. Why, Paul was very eminent in setting forth the glorious truths of the gospel, that Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners. But again, the same chapter, why, you have there Paul and Silas. They've been arrested. They've been put into prison. They've been beaten with many stripes, and there they are. But what were they doing? Or what did they do that night? They sang praises unto God. I find that personally very amazing, that here are two men, yes, that have gone through what they've been through, beaten with many stripes, and yet they sang praises unto God. Somewhere Paul writes this, doesn't he? That the things that have happened unto me have turned out rather to the furtherance of the gospel. Why, and indeed, this event turned out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. And again, good William Cowper's hymn comes in again, does it not? God moves in a mysterious way His wonders to perform. Why, there's an earthquake. Ah, yes, and now there's the jailer. He fears the prisoners have gone. He's going to do himself harm. And Paul cries out, do thyself no harm, we're all here. And we see the jailer coming in, washing the wounds of Paul and Silas. And we follow it through, and he was baptized with all his house. The very event became the means of calling him by his grace and changing his heart, renewing his will and turning his fate to Zion's hill. And so, no doubt that these things are these few, the woman, Lydia, and the jailer and his household, no doubt they formed the nucleus of this little church. Oh, and how the dear apostle, why this letter? Why, you could say, and you wouldn't be wrong, that it was a letter of love, a love letter to these people here at Philippi. He thanks God upon every remembrance of you. Always in every prayer of mine for you, all making request with joy. And for this, because for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. And we've got this text, being confident of this very thing, which he which hath begun a good work in you. Oh, what a blessing for anyone to have confidence, confident of this, that which the Lord has begun, he will perform it. He will finish it. He will complete it. Yes. This morning then we spoke from Leviticus. It seemed to me that there is a plague in the house. But we noticed that the owner of that house went to the priest and said this. And we tried to set this forth that, oh, a sinner, yes, he goes to the Lord in prayer, goes to the high priest of our profession. Well, if there's a poor soul here again this evening, yes, that has come like that man, all full of leprosy. And you've come, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Well, then, dear soul, there's this, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it. Perhaps there's some of you in here tonight, older or younger. You say, well, I don't know whether the Lord has begun with me. Perhaps you're saying, I'd love to know. I long to know whether the Lord has begun that work of grace that I hear about in my heart. Why is it you long to know it? Why do you long to know this? Is it not because you realise that the day is coming when you and I must depart out of this time and enter upon eternity? And do you not say this, dear soul, at times? I love to meet amongst them now before thy gracious feet to bow, thou vilest of them all. And you say, and I cannot bear the piercing thought, what if my name should be left out when thou for them shalt call? Prevent it by thy grace.
And be thou, dear Lord, my hiding place. And this, the accepted day. And you love to say, I long to say, yes. Then loud to the crowd I'll sing, while heaven is out in mansions ring with shouts of sovereign grace. But you're saying, but I don't know. I don't know whether that work of grace, as it's described, has been begun in my heart or no. Well, let's try and unearth a little bit. Let's find out a little bit whether there is any reason for you to think that the Lord has begun a work of grace in your heart. Can you say this? Can you say this? I'm not what I want to be. Perhaps you do say this. I'm not what I want to be. But can you say, I'm not what I once was? Once I could roll sin as a sweet morsel under my tongue. I didn't think anything about anything that I was doing. I just carried on as I wanted to. But now, I can't. Something stops me within. There's a conscience. And something says, I mustn't do this. Why? Why? It's because I believe it to be sinful. I believe it to be against God's word. Even if you're not fully aware of it. Why? It doesn't seem right to be able to be doing it. Again. Yes. And once, you never prayed. Oh, you say, I don't know whether I pray now. You don't know whether you pray. So, dear soul, does that mean you try and pray? Does that mean you try and pray? Does that mean you try and go to the Lord and tell him all about, as the hymn writer says, I think in one of the hymns, I think it's maybe 727, I tell him how my sins arise. Yes, and you go to the Lord and you tell him how your sins arise and how you wished a thousand times over you'd never done this, that and the other. And you pray that the Lord would have mercy upon you and that your sins would be forgiven and that he would make himself known to you. And you say you don't know whether you pray. Oh, but yes, but you don't understand. My prayers are so poor, are weak and feeble. I can't, you know, get two sentences together. And who said you'd got to get two sentences together? Who said you'd got to get two sentences together? One sentence will do, dear soul. God be merciful to me, a sinner. That'll do. Yes, when it comes forth from your heart and mind in sincerity and in truth. Yes. Again, let me repeat it again. That he will regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. He which hath begun a good work in you. Dear soul, it's the Lord begun. Paul was confident of this. And I hope I could humbly say the same, dear soul. You haven't told me. And I don't expect you to tell me. But dear soul, if you walk in anything like I've tried to describe. I'm confident of this also, that he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. The time of love will come when thou shalt clearly see not only that he shed his blood, but thou shalt say for me, tarries, let her then wait the appointed hour, wait till the bridegroom of your souls reveal his love with power.
Being confident of this very thing, that he with that begun a good work in you. Some people think that the Lord begins the work of grace and that they have, or they've got to have, an experience like then the Philippine jailer, or they've got to have the experience like the publican in the temple of God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Yes, and if I'm honest, I used to think the same, but I don't any longer. God is a sovereign in his dealing. Of how he blessedly and graciously works in one another's hearts. You go back here, the book of Genesis, and here in chapter 25, you've got where Jacob and Esau are born. Yes, and the subject of prayer at that, but that wasn't making Jacob a child of God. Jacob has not prayed. Jacob's a boy. Yes. And then you read about Esau. And Esau came in one day and said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me? And Jacob said, swear to me this day, and he swore, and him sold him his birthright unto Jacob. Well then, you read on, and yes, and with the aid of his mother, Rebekah, why, you see, they deceived his father. Why, Isaac has said to Esau to go and kill some venison and feed me with it, and then he would bless him. Well, Rebecca hears this, but she's determined that Jacob is going to have the blessing. But you know the account, how they deceived his father. And then Esau has threatened Jacob's life. And Jacob is sent away. He's sent to Padan Aram, yes, to find there a wife from his mother's brother, which he does. But on the way, the Lord met him. And he met him that night when he lay down. Yes. On the journey. It's stones for his pillar. But he dreamed. And in that dream, why? The Lord appeared to him. And this is what the Lord said to him. I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, to the south. And unto thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land,
Therefore, I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. And Jacob woke out of his sleep. Now, up to this time, you haven't seen anywhere where Jacob has ever prayed. But this is where the Lord met him. And this is where the Lord blessed him. No, he didn't have a Saul of Tarsus experience. He didn't have a Philippian jailer's experience. And dear soul, don't cut yourself off because you haven't had such an experience. But, oh, that he which hath begun a good work in you. Why, yes, there's the woman we mentioned, Lydia, the seller of purple. She didn't have the jailer's experience, whose heart the Lord opened. This all as the Lord opened your heart, that you see some blessed beauty, something precious in the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. You hear of him. Why, as the Song of Solomon describes, that my beloved is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000. Yes, a description of him. His mouth is most sweet. Yes, his mouth is most sweet. Why, what is it, dear soul, that you've heard from his mouth that makes it so sweet to you? Was it this? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Yes, tarry his leisure then, wait the appointed hour. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it. He will accomplish it, dear soul. He will finish it. Yes, one more thought. There's dear Ruth, isn't there? Where did the Lord begin with her? Another occasion when we can sing God moves in a mysterious way. There's a famine in Bethlehem, Judah. Yes. And Naomi and her husband go down into Moab. What are they doing? They're in God's hand. Yes. And the Lord is about to work. I will work, and who shall let it? Why, you know the account, but oh, how, dear Ruth, when Naomi says to her, go back to thy kindred and to thy people, she says, entreat me not to leave thee or from following after thee, for thy people shall be my people and thy God my God. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it. Yes, dear soul, the one or more here tonight, that you look upon others. You know, I know some of you do, and I'm not criticising you in any way, but you know, you go out on a first Sunday, you don't remain to see the ordinance of the Lord's Supper. Now, you might be doing yourself no good. When I was your age, I used to look at those members sitting down the front of the chapel, partaking of this bread and wine. I didn't understand in any way, shape or form what they were doing, but they had got something that I hadn't. I hadn't got what they got, and I wanted what they got. I trust there's an aching void. Oh, you see, what to see and witness this blessed sacred ordinance is all. Why, it creates an aching void. Yes, shall I amongst them stand? Shall I amongst them sit? He which hath begun a good work in you. Yes. Yes, he. This word has just come to my mind, and you find it, I think, in the 10th chapter of the Proverbs. But it's this: the desire of the righteous shall be granted. The desire of the righteous shall be granted. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it. So that the Lord works sweetly, blessedly, graciously in your heart. So that you too come. Yes. Yes, to tell to sinners round what a dear Saviour you have found. Point his redeeming blood and say, behold the way to God. You don't come, dear soul. You don't come to tell sinners round just to be a member of the church. No, you don't. You come, dear soul, to tell what Christ has done for you. Well, what, oh, and how precious he is to you. What he means to you. Well, that's how I came, at least. It wasn't that I wanted to be a member of the church. No. It was love to Christ. And oh, an aching void that I wanted to know more of him. Being confident this very thing which even hath begun a good work in you. Perhaps there's one in here that's like this. And before I say this, I'll say this. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. Well, again in the Song of Solomon. By night on my bed I sought him whom my soul loveth. Is that where you were last night, dear soul? By night on your bed. Oh, you were seeking after Jesus. Was you saying, in effect, Jesus, reveal thyself to me? Was you praying, gracious Lord, incline thine ear, and my request vouchsafe to hear, hear my never ceasing cry, and give me Christ, or else I die. Dear soul, if that is the real, true, honest language of your heart, then I believe this, that the Lord has begun a work of grace in your heart. I tell you this, it didn't come by nature, did it? Didn't come from the beggarly elements of this poor, wretched, dying world. Uh, which hath begun a good work in you. I've been here a few times over the years, in the week, taken a weeknight service, taken a prayer meeting. Yes. And I'm very thankful to see a good number present, which I don't see everywhere. But he which hath begun a good work in you. Once you were satisfied with going to chapel on a Sunday, and that was good enough. That was, you know, you were keeping up an appearance. You were doing what God has told us to do in his word, to assemble yourselves together as the manner of some is. But now, there's something in your heart that tells you that not that you ought to be at the chapel on the prayer meeting or at the service in the week, but a desire to be found there. Why? Because it's there where there's something, you say, it's something I cannot explain. But I hear the minister, and sometimes it all goes over my head. But other times, why, there's some special sweetness. Why, especially when perhaps he speaks about a poor sinner coming to the Lord Jesus Christ, and the Lord Jesus Christ revealing himself to them. Why, like poor blind Bartimaeus that sat by the wayside begging, crying out, "Yes, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me." And they say, "Oh, you've come. And you came like this, perhaps this morning, perhaps this evening. Perhaps this is what you were crying last night on your bed." Yes. Oh, and yes. And like that poor man, will he take any notice of me? Will he pass by me? No. He stood still. He stood still. And what did he do? He commanded this poor man to be brought unto himself. Oh, and he asked him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" "Lord, that I might receive my sight." Well, and the Lord opened his eyes. Yes. Ah, you're thankful that you're not blind as he was. But what's your prayer? What's your petition? What's your request tonight, dear soul? What was your request this morning on your bed in the early hours this morning, long before it was light? Oh, for a revelation of Christ. Oh, yes, can I repeat it again? To know my Jesus crucified. You say, but that's high language. That's claiming that Jesus is mine. And I don't feel I can say that. But just a minute. What was you saying in the night? Didn't you agree with me that you were crying? Yes. By night on my bed, I sought him whom my soul loveth. He which hath begun a good work in you, whom my soul loveth. is, oh, we love him because he first loved us. Jesus sought me when a stranger wandering from the fold of God, he to save my soul from danger, interposed his precious blood. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it. Perhaps you say, but you don't realise what a character I am, what I've been. Maybe I don't, and I don't want to know. But, dear soul, let me remind you of the dear woman in the gospel. She was a character, sinful character. And she's heard that Simon the Pharisee has invited Jesus to her house, his house. Yes. And uninvited, she goes along. Ah, he which hath begun. Now, where did the Lord begin with her? We don't know. We don't know what the circumstances were that caused her to come to Christ. Yes, the Lord changed her heart, renewed her will, and turned her feet to Zion's hill. He which hath begun a good work will perform it. But here's a poor sinner. Yes. And by all accounts, a notorious sinner. But you say she comes uninvited. She comes to the Lord. And Ruth gave evidence that she was seeking the Lord. Thy Lord. Thy God, my God. And this dear woman gives evidence. Her evidence was totally different. Dear soul, is your evidence like this poor woman? What's she doing? She's weeping bitterly. She's weeping bitterly. And she's come to the feet of Christ. Just as she was. Yes. And she weeps, she cries. There are tears of godly sorrow and repentance in her heart. Yes. And blessed be his name. She eventually hears those words. Thy sins are forgiven thee. And say my soul, why not for thee? Yes. The vilest sinner out of hell that lifts a feeler's need, welcome to the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it. Until the day of Jesus Christ. Performs that blessed work. Christ is revealed. Peace, pardon, received into a sinner's heart. Yes, oh, what shall I do, my Saviour to praise? Yes. Yes, dear soul. She was the happiest soul on the face of the earth then. And so will you be. So will you be, dear soul. Yes, when those great mountains of sin, yes, and you keep looking up and they keep going up. But all these mountains are made a plain. Sin is all forgiven, washed away, cleansed in the precious blood of the blessed Saviour, the glorious Redeemer. And when I pass by thee, ah, yes, this just comes to mind. And we read it last evening. Yes, and here in Ezekiel's prophecy. Why, when I pass by thee, saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou's in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou's in thy blood, live. You see, he hath begun a good work, quickened into divine life. But then again, now when I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love. And I spread my skirt over thee and covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee and entered into covenant with thee, saith the Lord, and thou becamest mine. Yea, the Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, I have loved thee with an everlasting love, and therefore with loving kindness I have drawn thee. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found, was blind, but now I see. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you, he which hath begun a good work in you. Nicodemus, he came to Jesus by night, didn't he? And what did the Lord say to him? Ye must be born again. And what Christ has said is, oh, must be fulfilled. Now, in many Christian evangelical circles, why, you still hear this comment time to time. I am a born again Christian. Whatever that might mean. But dear soul, are you a born again sinner? Because there's a profound difference. A born again sinner, a sinner that cries for mercy, a sinner that repents constantly over their sin and their iniquity and their transgression, he which hath begun a good work in you. And you see, the Lord, it goes on there, doesn't it? The Lord, why, he says this to us in that same chapter. The Lord Jesus speaking here, then to Nicodemus. It says in this, that as God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That whosoever, no name, no rank, no station in life. Yes, the hymn writer again, the vilest sinner out of hell. Whosoever. Yes. You may feel, dear soul, to be the least. Perhaps there's someone in here. Perhaps you think that nobody takes any notice of you. But yes, poor though I am, despised for God, yet Jesus, my Lord, forgets me not. He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it. Perform that blessed work. They, and there's this. You see, you can't You cannot be called of God. You cannot have that work of God's grace in your heart and mine without this old having the holy fear of God in our hearts. And what does the Lord say to us there about those that fear him? And they shall be mine in that day when I make up my jewels, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it. And they shall be mine. Why me, O blessed God, why such a wretch as I, who must forever lie in hell, were not salvation free? Oh, where would we be without the eternal love of God through our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ? Ah, he begins, dear soul, and he will finish it. Blessed be his glorious name. Yes, dear soul. You read here in the book of the Revelation, why, this is what dear John saw. He saw the children of God. He saw heaven. He saw those that were arrayed in white garments. And whence came they? And why, he said, he was asked, whence came they? And he said, sir, thou knowest. He said, these are they that came through great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sit on the throne shall dwell among them, and they shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them any more, nor any heat. For the Lord, for the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Yes. And what did the Lord say in his prayer unto his Father? Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou gavest me before the foundation of the world. Father, I will that they also, that poor soul that's here washing the feet of Christ, that poor man that's crying, God be merciful to me, I said, Father, I will that they also, and these poor souls, any poor such poor soul in like manner here in Swayze's chapel tonight, Father, I will that they also be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. Yes, dear soul. Them will sing, loud's the crowd I'll sing, while heaven resounds in mansions ring with shouts of sovereign grace. Ah, yes, when this poor lisping, stammering tongue lies silent in the grave, then in a nobler, sweeter song, I'll sing to him that died to save.
Elections last Lord's Day, which was for famine relief in Africa, amounted to £1,780, for which we're very thankful. God willing, Mr. Gilbert Hyde is expected to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Chapman next Lord's Day. And our friends Susie and Anthony hope to be married on Thursday at 11 o'clock, and our friends at Oakington hold their Thanksgiving service on Wednesday evening. Let us close with hymn 968. Hark, my soul, it is the Lord, 'tis thy Saviour, hear his word. Jesus speaks and speaks to thee. Say, poor sinner, lovest thou me? 968.
Dear Lord, thy name is music to our ears. Thou art the altogether lovely and the chiefest among 10,000. And thou, without thee, Lord, we must perish. But oh, dear Lord, to be with Christ, which is far better. Then do be with us. Bless us together. Bind us. Help us. Be with us. And at last, Lord, take us each home to glory, to be in heaven, where congregations ne'er break up and Sabbaths have no end. And now may the grace of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, love of God, sweet communion, Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each, now and always. Amen.